This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents the Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday. Big Daddy is out again today, and you know what? I figure if the big boys can do it, because that's what I call people that live in bigger towns, if the big boys can bring in, you know, guest hosts all the time, we can do the same. And this could be it. This could be finally the time that Daddy comes back from vacation. And he's on permanent vacation. Here's the text I got from Daddy yesterday. Let me look it up here. Because he'd been gone. He went with a buddy. They were going to go fly into Phoenix and then go south across the border and go fishing. He goes, I guess I can't read exactly what he says. Trip no good. No fishing. Bad weather.
Wow.
So I'm guessing his tan probably not enhanced either. Sean Callahan, who's making his trip through the Tri-Cities, is live in studio today. Now, folks, please, no stalking, no autographs, and no throwing stuff at our window, all right?
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Well, you're one-third through the tour, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Sean, of course, with HuskersIllustrated.com and a variety of other ventures, but he's coming through the Tri-Cities, and tonight he will be in Hastings at Bullseye with the recruiting video and answering questions about the 2010 recruits. And, of course, that's free and open to the public tonight at Bullseye's, and we'll talk about spring ball and all that. The combine's coming up. We'll talk about that with Sean today. Our guests include Stu Pospisil, the prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. We'll talk about districts getting underway for the boys. We'll talk a little girls. We'll recap what happened at wrestling as he was blogging the entire 3 days there, most of it. Also, the NSAA, who runs all the sports in the state, Nebraska School Activities Association, they've changed what they're doing with boys and girls basketball in Class A. And boy, it already looks like it's not working. We'll talk about that. The districts came out for the boys yesterday, and I don't get it. They're moving teams all over the place. Nobody's going to have a home court advantage, which is fine, but really nobody's going to have a home court advantage because these games are so far away from most, unless you're obviously an Omaha school staying in Omaha. So we'll talk to them about that. And here in just a moment, Carol Russell is going to join us from a UNK, our weekly Loper Link. But, hey, welcome to the studios. You're sitting in Daddy's chair. What do you think?
I'd adjust it a little bit.
If you've got a question for Sean, fire it off to the Dent Popper inbox. He'll answer those for you as well. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Last night at the Chicken Coop in Kearney, the reaction in your first stop?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, I thought good crowd. I know we're going to have a really good crowd in Grand Island. We've heard that a lot of people have already RSVP'd, so if you want to get into that event, you might want to call ahead. I believe the special is $15 a person that gets dinner and two drinks at the Indian Head Country Club out there in Grand Island, so that is Thursday night. Then tonight we'll be at Bullseye's, but the reaction was good. A lot of people obviously had plenty of questions about the quarterback race this spring and kind of my thoughts and expectations of what to look for and as we go here into 2010.
Well, and for the folks that don't know, you take the recruiting film and you go all over the place. You've got a lot of, I mean, you go coast to coast. Where have you already been since signing day?
Well, this week, or last week, my first one was in Des Moines. Then this week, I'm obviously here in the Tri-Cities. I've got an event in Washington, D.C. I've got one in Phoenix. I've got one in Topeka and Wichita. I've been to Chicago before a couple of times, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So I travel the country, go to a lot of different places. I get a lot of different requests. I've had people from Utah, contact me to go out there and do one. It never actually worked out, but so it's amazing how many different Husker groups there are around the country, and they want you to come out and show the film. And you know, when I'm out of Washington D.C., I'll get to spend some time with Clarence Thomas again. In fact, his secretary just called me yesterday to confirm our meeting time. I have to meet with him before my deal because he can't go in the bar to watch the film because it's a security risk for him to be inside a bar.
Wow, maybe we could get that for Big Daddy, a security risk. As you travel all these places, I know Californians from Nebraska, Texans from Nebraska, huge, huge, but every big city has a hangout, a bar, or a club that they go to and watch Husker games. Where's the biggest following outside of Nebraska that you've been to?
Well, Chicago has a really good bar called Kirkwood's, and they pack the place full every game. But, you know, Phoenix, they're so big now that they have two different clubs there. You know, that I mean, that's how they fill up like six or seven bars across town, but they have a couple of major bars there that they use. And when I show the film in Phoenix, we usually get about 250 people out there at the event. So I'm always amazed how well received it is when, you know, just being out in Phoenix. But there's a lot of people that retire or kind of relocate out there. And, you know, you find that the people that move away from Nebraska, they're probably the most passionate Nebraska fans out there.
Do you find, I've seen the groups around here, they seem to be the younger fan, or not necessarily what we call the West Stadium fan when you go to the football games. Is that the case when you're getting to Phoenix and Des Moines and Chicago, or is it more the businessman and woman or the retired folks?
It's a mix of everybody. It really is. I mean, one year in Phoenix, Bob Devaney's son, Mike Devaney, came out to our event. Former players I've seen that have come out that are just curious. They want to see what the team has to offer, what type of recruits are coming in. You know, it's a mixed bag of women. I mean, in Des Moines, we had 85 people or so at the Chicken Coop out there. They have a Chicken Coop, same ownership group. They always get a good crowd there with the Iowans for Nebraska Club out there as well.
Did you eat last night?
I had some quesadillas there. Very good.
There you go. Again, Sean Callahan joining us in studio today. He will be tonight at Bullseye in Hastings, tomorrow at Indian Golf Club in Grand Island, and he's going to be joining us throughout the program today. Big story today in the Omaha World from Rich Kuypist about the Combine and Philip Dillard, and I believe he was saying that three Huskers, you got Sue going, you got Asante going, you got Dillard going to the Combine. Fill us in on the Huskers going to the Combine, maybe who should be there, who shouldn't be, and we'll take it from there.
Well, three invites. Jacob Hickman was also an invite, but he has decided to give up football altogether, so they had four invites, which is on par with a lot of the top programs. You might see some teams like a USC or even a Texas get six, seven, maybe even eight invites, so Nebraska will be well represented down there. Sue will test out, I believe. Sue and Dillard are on Monday, and I think Asante is Tuesday. So they'll go out there, and I've covered the Combine. It's quite an event. You know, there's just, you know, media everywhere, players everywhere. You don't actually get to watch the Combine, though. You have a better seat at home watching it on the NFL Network than you do being in Indianapolis. You know, in terms of guys not being invited, the one, I guess, that surprises me is Barry Turner. I thought that just based on Nebraska's defensive line and Barry Turner with the way he played down the stretch in the Big 12 title game and even the Holiday Bowl, that he might have got himself an invite, but he was not invited. Matt O'Hanlon, you know, he's a nice player, but it doesn't surprise me that he wasn't invited to the NFL Combine. But both those guys are going to be priority free agent type guys. You know, the word on Sue, obviously, is number one or number two. I think Asante is probably a second or third round type guy, depending on what he does in Indianapolis, and Dillard's probably a 3 to 5 type guy.
How many Huskers are going to get drafted?
Just those three. I don't see any more than those three, especially with Jacob Hickman out of the mix. I mean, you know, the other guys you're talking about are O'Hanlon and Turner and Chris Brooks and Menelik Holt. I mean, those guys are going to probably attempt the free agent route, and that's a tough route to go. You hope you get on a practice squad, you know, like a Zach Potter. He floated around, made practice squad, and then moved to tight end with the Jacksonville Jaguars this year and was a starter for the last game of the year as a tight end. So you can make it work, but it's definitely a tough route to go if you're on that practice squad.
How many of those guys you think, if you're a free agent, how many of those guys you think can stick somewhere? given the right situation, I mean, there's always 8 or 10 that try, and maybe one or two that at least latch on.
Well, it's easy. I mean, not easy, but you see a lot of guys make it the first year or two, but then after that, you know, their pay has to go up each year they're in the league, and that's when teams typically let players go because they can find guys just like them each year in the draft process. So the key is, you know, surviving and making a second contract or getting in that third, fourth year and making a roster. You know, and being able to get that big contract after, you know, going through the rookie process, which is just, it's not easy. I mean, we saw Cody Glenn last year. He was drafted by the Redskins, and they cut him, and he floated around, made the Colts, and was on the roster, probably the last guy on that roster for the Indianapolis Colts, but he was on the team. He played in the Super Bowl and was able to play on some special teams for him in year one.
Speaking of Super Bowl, I heard a lot of people that just wanted to vomit about Chase Daniels getting a Super Bowl ring.
You know, give the guy a little credit. I mean, he was a part of a team and never saw it down, I don't think, but yeah. Fits that mold of a Drew Brees type quarterback, undersized, big arm, kind of a football X's and O type quarterback. So who knows? Maybe they see something in him in their system. But the guy was on a Super Bowl team. You can't criticize him that much, you know.
Let's go to the Debt Popper inbox. A guy named Sean says, "Hey, Sean, can we get the inside scoop on Husker recruit Mike Nobler?"
A lot of people are joking about that. If you go on YouTube, Mike Nobler is the director of the film for Nebraska, and they kind of did a practical joke on him, and one of the other film guys up there named Matt, he put together a highlight video. Mike was like a scout team wide receiver for his high school, and they had the big voice guy for the stadium voice over a highlight reel of him as a recruit, and so it's kind of a practical joke. A couple people asked me about that last night as well. But, you know, Mike's a good guy. He actually, a couple of my mom's students at Omaha South, he's going to hire him next year in the film department up there. So he's a good guy and obviously has a good sense of humor.
And they put him in a yellow jersey and they circle him running behind the play all the time and on the sidelines standing.
It's great.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-ESPN, or you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. You know what? Let's give something away. It's Tri-City Storm Weekend, family four-pack. They're home Friday and Saturday. You can go either night. Sean and I just talked about the three Huskers that have been invited or will be participating in the NFL Combine this weekend. Who are they? Name the three Huskers that will be in the NFL Combine this weekend, and you can have a family four-pack of tickets to either Friday or Saturday Storm Hockey. We'll be back. Stu Pospisil will join us after this.
What is a reverse mortgage? How does it differ from a home equity line? What are the advantages? These are just a few of the many frequent questions asked about reverse mortgages. Hi, this is Russ Smith with CharterWest National Bank. You have questions, we have answers on reverse mortgages. How do you qualify? Is there an age requirement? See us to start a reverse mortgage. You have your reasons, we have your loans at CharterWest National Bank, 4511 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
The power of the eagle, CharterWest National Bank.
What are you looking for in a pharmacy?
I work downtown, so I need a pharmacy close to my job.
I'm busy with my kids and a job, so I need a pharmacy that's fast with no waiting.
I have a grandparent who is in a wheelchair, so I need a pharmacy with free delivery.
I'm a college student, and I'm on my own for the first time. I need a pharmacy that'll explain things and answer my questions.
Locally owned, ABC Drug Health Mart Pharmacy is the pharmacy for you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
That's the sound of power, the power to get things done. We're Groney's Outdoor Power Center, your partner in power. If you need it, Groney's Outdoor Power Center sells it and fixes it. From chainsaws, lawnmowers, weed trimmers, to snow blowers and plows, and hot pressure washers, we can give you the power to do it right. We service what we sell, and what they sell, too. 3551 North Highway 281. Call 308-384-5168. Groney's Outdoor Power Center, your partner in power.
Hastings, it's time to go green with Woodward's Disposal Service. Residential and commercial, Woodward's has owned and operated their own recycling center since 1988. Plus, full-service trash pickup with toters or metal containers ranging from 1 yard to 30. And curbside recycling service is free. Need something hauled away today? Give Woodward's a call. And in a lot of cases, they can pick it up the same day. Family owned and operated since 1933. Call 402-462-9252 or at woodwardsdisposal.com. Remember, reduce, reuse, recycle.
We get You've heard who the Huskers signed. You've heard the company line. Who's coming off a red shirt? Perhaps wear a black shirt. Now get the rest of the story with Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com. Wednesday, February 24th, Bullseyes, Hastings. Thursday, February 25th, Indian Head Golf Club, Grand Island. Beginning at 6 each night. Brought to you by Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 27. Southeast winds will also stay at 5 to 10 miles per hour. We'll then see increasing clouds tonight and a slight chance of snow showers late with a low of 12. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 18.
Wow, a winner. Right off the bat, knew that Ndamukong Suh, Larry Asante, Philip Dillard are going to the combine. Who was paying attention, Derek?
Yeah, Brett from North Platte. He's coming down to watch the Saturday game, Chicago Steel in town.
Hey, Brett, thanks so much for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show all the way out in North Platte. And the Doug and Daddy Show is going to be busy here in the next month as we get close to the state tournaments. We'll be on the road. March Madness will be on the road. And, of course, St. Patrick's Day is going to be here before we know it. Got a chance to pop into Cunningham's Journal in the loft last night. Again, they just continue to improve. That's the heaviest bathroom door in Kearney, by the way.
A Mark Boerichter sighting there,
That's
by
right.
the way.
That's right. The former Hastings College stud and NFL player, Mark Boerichter, was in town. I'm sure he wants everybody to know that. We got a chance to talk to him, though. He's stepped aside. He's living in Kansas City, where, of course, he played some of his NFL football.
Did pretty well for himself.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, we will be at Cunningham's with the Doug and Daddy Show on St. Patrick's Day from 11 to 1. They have a brand-new remodeled bar, but the deal here is it's better than ever, and they've got great help, and they've got the loft upstairs, they've got the journal downstairs, and we can't wait for the warm weather to get out to the courtyard. But they will have green beer specials all day on St. Patrick's Day. They'll be opening at 7 a.m. with the coldest beer in town. It says so right there. And, of course, as soon as you touch one, you know that it is the coldest and freshest beer around. Many beverages to choose from, and come by, see Mike, the entire gang at Cunningham's. Don't wait till St. Patrick's Day, because they're there for you 7 days a week. Bring your friends to Cunningham's Journal and the Loft, downtown Kearney, now and every day until we reach, oh yeah, St. Patrick's Day. Sean Callahan is joining me in studio here today on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to talk to Stu Pospisil in a minute. But you brought up everybody wants to know about the quarterback race. What are you telling people publicly?
Well, Zach Lee, I don't expect him to play this spring. You know he's not going to be a part of the spring for the very beginning. So I really think Cody Green and even Taylor Martinez, those two guys this spring are going to get a heck of an opportunity to potentially make a case to win that job. And it would not surprise me if we saw a different starting quarterback other than Zach Lee here to start the season. I don't know. I mean, just from what I'm hearing from some of the inside talk, that's the word I'm hearing. So don't be surprised. I mean, especially if Cody Green or even a Taylor Martinez have a breakout type spring.
Okay, so we give you $5,000 in fantasy money. Who are you putting it on? Who's starting the first game of the season?
I'm going to go with Cody Green. I wouldn't be surprised. I think his upside and the direction they want this offense to go, because if they would have had a quarterback last year that could make some throws in key situations, I mean, Nebraska was right there. I mean, they could have been right there in the mix for everything.
You think Cody can improve that much in one season? But was it, again, a lot of people started to say, well, he just doesn't have touch on the ball, and then it seemed like, well, maybe he's just not bright enough in the concept yet, hadn't been around long enough to get everything into his brain about running the offense. How do you see him coming along there off season wise when you're not running?
I think it will slow down for him. That's the key. You know, you're going into year two, and I think it will really slow down for him here. And he's in his second winter. He was here last spring. This will be his second spring. I think you're going to see him really mature. I know the guys on the team really like Cody, and he's a well-respected guy in the locker room, despite the fact he's just going to be a sophomore next year.
Breon Carnes, automatic red shirt?
You would think. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you don't want a true freshman out there very often in very many cases. I mean, you just don't see it very often in college football, especially at quarterback. So I would think they can redshirt him and develop him over the long term.
Is Cody Spano just going to have to end up transferring?
And that's another guy. You know, we fail to talk about him because he's been hurt. He's tore his ACL twice, which caused him to miss all of last season. And, you know, so we really don't know what to expect from Cody Spano. But in high school, he played in a spread type system. He's got a good arm. So he'll be another guy to watch this spring. But I would think the mobility factor is really what they're looking for. They want a guy that can make plays on the run and create, kind of like a Joe Gans did in 2008.
Sean Callahan's with us. We're efforting a couple of our guests today. Cell phone issues. We're just, you know, what the problem is they're not answering. That's always an issue on the program. oh boy, some people fire off text messages and emails, and we'll pass them along to Sean as the program develops. If you got a question for Sean Callahan, who's with us in studio, all you have to do is fire it off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy. At ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Yesterday, Sean was with us on the show via the phone, and we talked about Zach Sturt from Hastings St. Cecilia, who might be coming to the Huskers. Huskers might offer him. He's definitely a big talent. We talked about some of the other kids in the state, like a Michael Schaff, which, of course, Big Red can't talk about, but we can. A kid that is going is Andrew Rodriguez. How is it an immediate impact with him? Well, what are your thoughts?
You know, you talk about offensive linemen. Most of these guys are going to have to redshirt. They need that year to develop. But Andrew carries his weight so well. You know, you look at him, he's 315, 320, but it looks like he's 290, just the way he carries that weight right now. I think the key for him will just be being pushed. You know, at Aurora, you're just not facing off against the type of defensive lineman you're going to see at Nebraska. So I think A-Rod, as they call him, is going to really develop and grow, and I think he'll probably play guard. You know, I know we rank him at Rivals in the tackle rankings, but to me, he's more of a natural fit at the guard position.
1-888-455-ESPN, 888-455-ESPN, that's 3776, if you need to type it out on the BlackBerry. Love to have you on. This story came across right before I got out of here yesterday to go to basketball. Tony Kornheiser suspended from Pardon the Interruption for 2 weeks for making insensitive comments towards fellow ESPN...
Hannah Storm.
Yeah, Hannah Storm, Sports Center anchor. I want to get the extended story here. Kornheiser announced the suspension yesterday, calling the remarks he made intemperate and stupid. An ESPN spokesman confirmed the suspension, declined to say how long it would be. Well, he said it's 2 weeks. Kornheiser described an outfit that Hannah Storm was wearing at ESPN last week as horrifying, saying her shirt was too tight and looked, quote, like she has sausage casing wrapped around her upper body, end quote.
I think, well, there's some context to that. I believe on his radio show, Kathy Gifford or someone from The View, and they talk about fashion, and that's how it was brought up. She was wearing these high red boots and a short skirt, and I mean, you ever watch her on the morning, she usually does wear.
Yeah, well, most of the gals are fashioned up in the way that they go. Hannah's always kind of been that way.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal? That's worth 2 weeks suspension?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't agree with it. I mean, when you step up to the big time, you're going to have people critiquing and talking about you, and I mean, that comes with that job. When you're in the public light, you know, people can say stuff about you. That just happens. Yeah. I mean,
they never say anything about you, right? nothing that would be. They talk about your fashion?
No, I don't know about my fashion.
Doug and Daddy Show. Sean Callahan is in studio today, pinch hitting for Daddy, who has used up most of his vacation by the end of February. It's time now for our Wednesday Loper Link segment. The College Store on 1420 West 24th is carrying Campus Authentic apparel. Campus Authentic, so real, the coach might even put you in. You can check out their huge selection of Loper gear right across from the Health and Sports Center, or you can go online to thecollegestore.com, thecollegestore.com. Also, Loper Link brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, we have the loan. And we're pleased to catch up today with the head women's basketball coach at UNK, Carol Russell. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, how are you?
Well, we're doing okay. We're running around, getting through a Wednesday, and I know you guys are running around with two very important games coming up this weekend and against two pretty good basketball teams in Colorado Mines and Colorado Christian. Talk about this final homestand coming up.
Yeah, it is kind of a big weekend for us. We are tied for fourth right now in the East Division, and we need to be in the top four to go to the conference tournament. Since they've changed the dynamic of the tournament this year, used to be the top eight were in the tournament, but now it's a top four in each division. So that's what this tournament's all about for, or this weekend's all about for, is getting to tournament.
And, of course, it's not the case for the men, but for the women right now, they would be in the top eight and have a game lead over Western State and Western New Mexico. But with those teams in the West Division, it just doesn't matter. Christian and Mines are 1 and 2 in the East. So not only do you need just a little bit of help, you've got to knock off two of the top teams in the league.
Right, exactly. You know, I feel pretty good about it. We played Colorado Mines at their place. We played them to a 3-point game. We played them without Megan Becker. So, you know, you got to think that add Megan to the mix and we're playing at home, it might make a difference for us. Colorado Christian, you know, they've got a Division I transfer from Colorado State that's really made a huge difference for them. And I got to believe that's why they're, you know, leading the league right now in the East Division. But very post-oriented teams that we're facing this weekend, and that's why it really helps to have Megan Becker for these games.
Carol Russell, the head women's basketball coach at UNK, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, you started to play better basketball here over the last month. What do you attribute that to? I know that the numbers weren't necessarily there. Then you were banged up. Was it kids just you learning to play those minutes, or was it getting healthier, or were there some other factors involved?
You know, there's probably a number of factors. We started the season very injured. I mean, we went to our first tournament with 6 kids, basically, and you know, as kids have gotten healthier and as our young kids have matured, that's been the big difference for us. And, you know, you want to be playing well in February, and that's really been typical of the Loper basketball teams here for me. So that's what we're going to continue to try and do here and finish strong, and that's what you want to do.
Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you, this is Sean Callahan here, I wanted to ask you just kind of the success with Nebraska and their women's program this year. You're a former Husker. Kind of get your thoughts and what that's done for women's basketball just around the state and some of the exposure that's given the state of Nebraska here in women's basketball.
I think it's great, first of all. Who would have thought that it'd be, you know, February 22nd or 23rd, I think, and they're still undefeated. That is absolutely ridiculous that they're playing that well. But, you know, when Connie came in and took over that program, it wasn't in a very good place, and she's really built a great program. And those kids, you know, when they were young and freshmen, they really bought into her system and her program and worked extremely hard. Then they're reaping those rewards as seniors right now, and so that's really fun to see, first of all. And, yeah, Nebraska for high school, it's really, you know, not just high school, but the college, it's really been a volleyball state. A lot of people say it, even right now, as, you know, basketball playoffs are going on, there's still a lot of volleyball club things that are happening right now and people are involved in. So I think it does give the state and the high school kids a lot of exposure to what basketball is all about at the women's college level, and hopefully that'll continue. That's what I'd really like to see.
Of course, the Huskers tonight at Norman, Oklahoma, to take on the Sooners. Carol, did you ever have any good games against Oklahoma?
I might have had one good game against Oklahoma in my 4 years.
January 29th, 1991. 10 for 10 against Oklahoma, and Carol Russell's name is at the top of the record book for highest field goal percentage in a single game. Did you guys win that game, Carol?
We did win that game, and I got to say they're all layups. So. I don't think I made 1-3 in my career, so I will have to attest to the fact that they were all layups. So, it was, you know, I had a great coach, Angela Beck, and I remember she called a timeout and towards the end of the game, and she's like, "You know what you've done?" And I was like, "Geez, what now?" But she's just like, "Yeah, if you hit one more shot, and you'll get this record." And so, you know, we went back in, and she'd kind of set up a play for us to get a layup and for me, which was, you know, most coaches wouldn't do that, but you know, we did beat them, and we actually got second in the conference that year, which was kind of fun to play in.
Carol Russell with us for just another minute here. Let's get back to UNK basketball a little bit. What about this young team that you have? A lot of people were looking at Debbie Johnson to kind of lead the team this year, and she has really got the attention of all the opponents, but I'm starting to see more names more often in the box score and in the stories and in the recaps here of some kids like Kim and Leanne and some other girls that are starting to step up. What about the development of a couple of these kids that's really pleased you here?
Yeah, you know, early, you know, I think Debbie flew under the radar last year as a freshman because we had some, you know, Jade Meads and Johnny Mildenberger and some other scoring opportunities that she got to come off the bench and kind of just do her thing as she could. And she garnered freshman year honors, and so this year, you know, coming back, and that's probably why we didn't have a lot of success early, was everybody keyed on Debbie, and they knew that, you know, maybe if you take her out, you might be able to get a win against us. And The nice thing is that other kids have stepped up and realized that they do have the ability to contribute. And, you know, I cannot say enough about Kim Tiffin and what she's brought to this program this year. A lot of times, like for junior college transfers, it'll take them a year just to kind of learn the system and learn the program. And, you know, last year you didn't see a lot out of her. She had an injury, and this year she's came back and really dedicated herself to being a leader for this program. And she's done that and done a great job with it. And her game's really stepped up to another level, too, for us.
Well, Kim, the only senior on this ball club, and a lot of these, well, all these kids scheduled to be back next year, and I kept asking Coach Lofton about it the last couple times we've had him on the show, so I'll ask you before we let you go. Recruiting-wise, where are you guys at? I know you're busy worried about on the court, but you always got one eye on the recruiting.
Yeah, you do. We for women's basketball, it's a lot different than the men's basketball at our level, especially for Division II. I know men's basketball at this level, they're recruiting, they tend to wait. You know, guys don't want to sign early. They want to see if they can play their way into a Division I scholarship, and so that's why they were signing guys late. For us, you know, girls want to get it done early. They want to do the early signing. They want to know where they're going heading into their senior year. And we signed 5 kids in the early signing period back in November. We wanted to, you know, I definitely wanted to address the fact that last year we had injuries and it hurt us bad. You know, we were down to 6 kids at one point. We had to do a tryout and get a walk-on to join us just so we had enough numbers. And I did not want to face that situation again. So we went out and were able to get 5 kids, and I'm really excited about them, address some issues. You know, talking about Debbie Johnson, she's playing, you know, really the point guard for us. We're trying to move her to the 2 guard because that's where she'd really have a lot more success, we think. So we did sign a couple point guards. One of them, you know, Nicole Arp, who's having a tremendous senior year. We're really excited about having her join our program next year. She's one of the local kids that I think will really make a big impact for us.
Okay.
And then we did sign 4 other kids, 2 posts, 1 from Iowa, 1 from Wisconsin, signed another guard out of Colorado, and then we signed Shelby Zimmerman out of Tri-County High School.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you giving us some time. We'll let you get back to your mom duties. Take care of those youngins, okay?
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Carol, best of luck this weekend. Thanks for the time. Carol Russell, head women's basketball coach, taking a few minutes out of her day to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as part of our Loper Link segment. Of course, the men and women at home, final home games of the season. Colorado Mines Friday, Colorado Christian Saturday. Women at 6, the men at 8. Both virtually need to win both of their games and hope for a little help to get into the tournament. The 7th-ranked wrestling team is at the RMAC Championships in Alamosa, Colorado on Saturday. Track at the RMAC Championship. The baseball team scheduled to open their conference season at Colorado Mines, weather permitting. The softball team is headed out to Pueblo. They're going to be playing some games, and they're not even sure exactly who they're playing. Shadron, Pueblo, maybe Wayne State. Tennis team's in action as well. And don't forget that tomorrow night is their fundraiser here in Kearney as part of a split that used to be the Blue Gold. Now they're having their Rush raffle, and that is going on tomorrow. Let me give you a couple of ideas about that, or a couple thoughts on that. The inaugural Blue Gold Rush for scholarships is tomorrow at the Holiday Inn and Convention Center from 5:30 until 7 o'clock. Raffle ticket purchases not necessary to attend. You can meet the Loper coaches and athletes, but with that raffle ticket, you could win one of many great prizes. There's door prizes and a whole lot more. You can go to Lopers.com for more information. And our Loper Link segment brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, where they offer all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for the seniors, the reverse mortgage loans. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And the College Store, 1420 West 24th, now open with your textbooks, supplies, and tons of Loper gear. Stop by or check them out at thecollegestore.com, thecollegestore.com. We'll be back with more from Sean Callahan, who's in studio, and we'll try and track down Stu Pospisil as well after this.
Get born, get slapped, now get to school, be good at sports, always look cool, lift weights, be strong, know how to fight, stay out late, but be polite, now find a nice girl who'll say, I do, then have 3 kids who look just like you. Rake the leaves from the hedge and mow the yard. Honey, can you open this jar? You've reached a stage where you feel at ease. You've come this far and it wasn't a breeze. You can take on anything, of course you can, because you're a man.
Now that you're all grown up, it's time for some comfort. At last, there's a Dove for Men. Introducing Dove Men Plus Care. For skin as comfortable as you are.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Stop harmful spam and virus intrusions.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is an integrated hardware and software solution that processes and filters out bad email before it enters your network. With no per-user fees and automatic updates, the Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is the most cost-effective solution for protecting your network from email-borne threats. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or visit Barracuda.com.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with Centerpoint Wealth Management in Grand Island. At Centerpoint Wealth, we use three independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174 or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's C-E-N-T-R-E pointwealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Centerpoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 27. Southeast winds will also stay at 5 to 10 miles per hour. We'll then see increasing clouds tonight and a slight chance of snow showers late with a low at 12. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 18.
Feeding our guests like UNK coach Carol Russell. Every day we're giving away free meals to our coaches, and don't forget, you may not be able to eat for free, but it's darn close to it. At Kearney, Lexington, Cozad, or North Platte, their breakfast special, two sausage, egg, and cheese croissants for $3. They serve breakfast from 6 to 11. Quarter pound double cheeseburgers for $1, and their drive-through special anytime, a 32-ounce drink for $1. At Burger King, two locations in Kearney, Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Well, Sean Callahan is joining me in studio today. And, again, don't forget, tonight he will be in Hastings, part two of three of his tour at Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill, a great place. Sean was there last year. We've had the Husker Sports Network tour stop there this summer. It's always packed. They do such a great job at Bullseye's. So stop in and see Sean tonight. And, again, it's free, open to the public at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. He'll be at Indian Head in Grand Island. You can call there for reservations because they're filling up pretty fast at Indian Head. As this job of yours or this part of your job continues to grow a little bit, what are you maybe more fascinated by as compared to 5-6 years ago? What do people want to know more about, or is there a part of the recruiting business that has really changed here lately?
I just think in general, people across the board, maybe since 2004, 5 in that range, have become more educated about this whole process. I mean, when I first started covering recruiting in 99, people didn't know a lot about recruiting and what was going on. Now you go everywhere, and I don't care where I'm at, you know, in Lincoln, Omaha, when I'm doing my day-to-day stuff, people will just randomly ask you about recruits. I mean, and just the knowledge of the fan base in general, that the wanting to know about every type of little facet of this program. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the questions when I'm out to dinner or just anywhere, random people will ask, what about this guy or that guy? What's going on? I mean, even when I'm at the gym working out, I'm in the locker room.
Guys will ask me.
It's,
I don't want to know what's going on in the locker room.
I'm saying, like, guys will, people will want to know. You know, when with Owo Odighizuwa, I mean, that was crazy. I couldn't leave my house. I mean, this, the people really care about what's going on with the recruiting, I think, more than ever. And it's grown every year. And I think it started probably in 04, 05, when Bill Callahan first got here. The fans kind of jumped on following recruiting more than ever. And now it's really where it's at today.
Is that the biggest recruit loss in years for Nebraska? I mean, again, this is all paper and pen, and you don't know until it pans out. But, boy, I didn't see anybody that didn't think this was a good kid.
You know, he was going to be pretty good. I mean, he was probably an NFL surefire guy, defensive end. But the thing you got to remember is Owa dropped Nebraska, then he added them back in. So that should have told people something right there, that Nebraska was at the bottom of that list for him. In fact, he said that they were third of his final three. You know, and typically history tells you the longer a process goes out, you know, a kid is not going to take the team, you know, far away. He's going to probably stay closer to home, you know, when they expand things out all the way to the very end like that.
Doug and Daddy Show on this Wednesday, the Dent Popper Inbox. If you've got a question for Sean Callahan or even a high school sports question, because Stu Possible is going to join us here in just a second from the Omaha World Herald. And, of course, glad to have you along with us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Sean Callahan in studio. And Stu Possible, the prep sports editor from the World Herald, has climbed down from his perch on top of the Quest Center at the state wrestling tournament. We're ready for basketball. Good morning, Stu.
Hey, time to shift sports.
I'll tell you what, yeah, let's, before we jump right into basketball and some of the things that we talked off-air about yesterday, wrestling has recapped. Your thoughts from the state wrestling meet?
Well, I thought it was one of the better ones. You had a four-time champion in Ron Coleman from Omaha North, and a couple of three-timers in Rayvon Perkins from North, and Sean Nagel, the first one from the Kimball Longhorns. Some good team races. First tie in a team race since the 40s between Mitchell and Madison in Class C. And Amherst continues to be in the top two. I think that's, what, five straight years with the second title and three runner-ups. So congratulations to the Broncos.
Hey, Stu, this is Sean Callahan.
Sean?
How you doing? I just want to talk about more about Ron Coleman and kind of put his legacy in perspective. I mean, for a kid to win four titles in the 215/275 weight range, I mean, how unheard of is that? And where does he rank in your eyes in terms of some of the best 200-pound-plus wrestlers we've seen in the state?
Well, I think that, you know, he was the first to win his senior year, you know, his fourth title as a senior at heavyweight since the first one, Herb Reese, back in 47. So that tells you that a lot of times it's guys that go through the weight classes, and it's very difficult to get that first one as a freshman if you're saying they're 215 or even 189, because of you're going against much more mature wrestlers, maybe cutting weight to get to that point. But to win two at 215 and two at 285, the only one I can think of that, obviously he set himself apart, but Mitch Manstead from Clark's, I believe, won three heavyweights in a row after finishing runner-up as a freshman for his dad. And that would be about the next one in line behind Ron. It's a superlative effort. You wish that he could have seen also maybe the likes of Jesse Hintz from Beatrice or Jake Haas from Omaha Scott. Or, you know, Dougie will argue with me till the cows come home, but we have too many classes in wrestling, and it would be so nice to see, you know, Scott move up into Class A along with about eight other teams and make Class A really strong and make B really strong and make a small school division really strong. But I don't see that happening until we start losing more schools.
Even a Mike Schaaf would have been neat to see him go against Ron Coleman. And you talk about four-time champions. I mean, Mike Schaaf probably could have done it. I mean, he had that controversial overtime loss as a freshman. And I'll tell you what, Stu, I was out in Sutton last week, and this kid's a rising star. I mean, what have you seen from Mike Schaaf? And, you know, what kind of football player do you think he can be just from people you've talked to at the next level?
Well, I know that they really like him out there, and, you know, with him being in C2, he doesn't necessarily have a whole lot around him, so he's going to probably face a lot of double and triple teaming the next couple of years, but I know he's a very strong athlete, as you would expect from somebody who, like you said, is 1-1 in state finals and maybe should have two. So, you know, I think he's going to definitely, you know, be on the short list of recruitable players if he keeps developing.
Stu Pospisil, the press sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's shift into basketball. Stu, Class A and the NSAA is doing something different this year, which on the surface seemed like a good idea. They broke up the Western District, which for the last many years was Grand Island, Kearney, North Platte, and Columbus. Columbus got bumped to B for a year or two. Then Norfolk came down, however you want to search it. And then Lincoln was all jammed together, and all the Omaha schools were jammed together. Well, this year they have waited until just yesterday to release the districts, where they're at, and who's in it. And Kearney will be traveling to Bellevue East, just for the folks here, and they'll take on Lincoln Southwest, and Omaha Central will play Columbus. I like the idea that it's all being broken up. I guess somewhere along the way I got the wrong assumption that somebody would be hosting it close to where they're at. Norfolk, the number one seed, and four Omaha schools are going to Lincoln. Does it already look like a failure, or what is your thought on this process for Class A?
Well, you know, I discussed this with a board member yesterday, and you know, they have an issue. First of all, you've got Class B districts, and you have girls' districts that need, especially in Class B, that need to have Class A gyms with their capacities available. So then that makes it a little more difficult to just say, you know, hey, you're the number one seed, but, oh, you're hosting a district. So there are logistical issues with trying to do this late. I think that one solution might be is to come up with maybe 10 available schools rather than just seven, and try and pair them up so that you get a little bit more geographical center to it. You know, honestly, there is no reason, and they're great facilities, but just for geographical purposes, Omaha North and Bellevue East are two of the four schools that are the easternmost in the state, and they perennially are having district tourneys. So you're sent, you know, say a Kearney. Not only do you have to bypass, you know, going past Lincoln, going past Millard West, Papio South, you're going all the way to Bellevue East. You can't get any more further east in the state. So I think they've got to come up with some method of being able to say, okay, Norfolk and Four Omahas, you're going to Fremont, or even Blair. Blair has a very nice gym that could hold a Class A district, but you've got to, you've got to have some options rather than just saying, okay, here's seven sites and we're going to try and do it the best they can. And then you get people like Lincoln Southeast and Lincoln High that aren't having to travel. They get to play in their hometowns. I'm not sure if that's yet maybe unavoidable, but it seems like they may have an advantage.
Is there a favorite right now? I mean, Norfolk is having a great season. Creighton Prep's done some things. I mean, there's a lot of teams right now. I mean, you could make a case. I mean, who would you label right now as the Class A favorite?
Well, I think for depth, and you're going to have it in a three-day tournament, that Norfolk, Southeast, and Prep probably are the three deepest teams. And you know, that said, somebody could get hot, and, you know, a team like a Central or Lincoln High, although the links aren't very deep, neither is really Central. You know, it's hard to say, and as wide open as Class A seems to be, Class B, if anybody can tell me what eight teams are going to come out of there beyond maybe the wild card or two, they're a better Crescent than I am.
Yeah, Class B has really been jumbled up this year in the rankings that Stu does for the World Herald. Class C and D is underway last night. As usual, you see a lot of, maybe you look at the scores, you go, wow, really? That was that close? You got a lot of teams that didn't have great records with that last desperation chance that pushed some of the better teams. Any surprises that you saw last night, Stu?
You know, I talked with Buck Mahoney from the Kearney Hub, and really there wasn't that much out your way. You know, Eustace Farnham, I think people gave them a pretty good shot against Maxwell. That might have been maybe a little surprise. Ravenna, game tested by Gibbon, but the Reinertsen boy being healthy again, he's one of the better players when healthy in the state. You know, it was kind of cut and dried. Maybe some scores were a little closer, but, you know, I think we see at this time of year teams playing not to lose rather than playing to win, and those that are playing to win are the ones that are the upset-minded.
Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald, just a minute left. We'll probably get into that boys' state tournament preview in a couple of weeks here when we get to that time so that you can talk to Daddy when he gets back off vacation. Anything else going on in the world of the NSAA? We got swimming this week, and then girls and boys basketball. We're coming off wrestling. We had the discussion when the football pairings came out. Anything else going on that gets you to a meeting?
No. Yeah, I mean, it's just we got some good girls district finals this week, including Lincoln Southeast and Grand Island, Stacia Robertson versus the freshman Kostanek, the younger sister of Marissa, who's at North Carolina State. So there's good action, and the only bad thing is I wish we didn't have boys' district finals on Monday and Tuesday night, which are probably very light nights for fan interest.
Hey, Stu, speaking of NSAA stuff, I was talking to some football coaches. Have they changed the wild card for Class A now? Are there going to just be two teams per each district and then six wild cards? I know that was something Paul Amaji mentioned to me, that they're going to probably change. But has that been officially changed yet?
That has not. If that's to be considered, that would be an approved ruling, and that would come in on the April board meeting. So, you know, I think there's a chance, but they still have to officially vote on it.
You see
and
that?
It would make sense. I mean, to take first and second from the five districts and then six at-large teams, you just avoid the chance, and there has been a strong chance in years past of a 1-8 team making it to state.
Oh, that way your alma mater gets in, Stu. Hey, Stu, we appreciate the time.
He's won four this past year and got in.
Stuart, it's always great talking with you. Take care of the young ones, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Thanks, Stu.
Let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A couple more questions for Sean Callahan to wrap things up when we come back.
Attention, Subway $5 Footlong fans. Footlong Nation Appreciation is here. To thank you for making Subway $5 Footlongs famous, we're giving away prizes every day, like free footlongs for a year. You heard right, free footlongs for a year. Chances to win on specially marked cups and in select bags of Doritos, Blazin' Buffalo, and Ranch chips. Footlong Nation Appreciation. Big prizes, big news, big thank you. Subway, where winners eat.
Excludes premium subs. Prices and participation may vary. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. For rules and details, go to SubwayFreshBuzz.com.
Get ready for spring mowing with a CarQuest Lawn and Garden Battery, starting at just $17.99 exchange. Save $10 with a mail-in rebate on two CarQuest ExactFit wiper blades. See store for details now through March 31st at participating CarQuest locations. Great people, great products, great prices. CarQuest Auto Parts.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in, roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite with Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, rolling through the winter and spring sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 27. Southeast winds will also stay at 5 to 10 miles per hour. We'll then see increasing clouds tonight and a slight chance of snow showers late with a low at 12. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Right now, 18.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Coming up tomorrow, Big Daddy expected to be back in studio. We have no idea. Today, we'd like to thank Mr. Lisa Wiederspahn for being on the show. How's it going? also known as Sean Callahan. It's getting closer, buddy. It's getting closer. We're down to, what, 4 months?
I was with the future in-laws last night. They stopped out.
They like you.
I'm in good, yes. I'm doing all right.
That's kind of crazy. Sean Callahan with us here. A couple more questions before we wrap up the program today. I've had a couple of folks text and email this. I want to know what our chances are with Aaron Green.
You know, Aaron Green, if you're not familiar, he's the brother of Nebraska defensive back Andrew Green, probably the number one ranked running back in the state of Texas, maybe the country for next year. Nebraska's sitting in a good position, but you have to always factor in Texas. Aaron's going to narrow things down to a final three, final four. I expect it to be Nebraska, USC, Texas. Those will probably be the three teams, and you have to like where Nebraska stands, unless Texas can really sway him in, because they need a running back in Austin. They haven't had a good running back there probably since Jamal Charles.
Wow. Let's go to the Bopper inbox again here. Dan says, any high-profile recruits coming in for Junior Day?
You know, a lot of guys will be coming in, just going over the list. Here on our site, there's several in-state guys. Zach Stirrup will be there. Ted Lampkin from Omaha Central. Ryan Reeves. We've confirmed at least 40 guys that will be coming in. Guys with offers. Dylan Admire from Overland Park, Kansas. He'll be there. Cameron Kaufman, a quarterback. I believe he's the brother of Chase Kaufman, the former Missouri tight end. He has an offer. He'll be there as well. Ryan Reeves, as I mentioned. Robert Standard from St. Louis Chaminade, an offered candidate at running back. Bubba Starling from Gardner, Kansas, who's offered by Nebraska. He's a quarterback. He'll be there. And then Christian Sunstrip, another quarterback offered from St. Louis. So it's kind of interesting. Nebraska has a quarterback commit, but I just mentioned three offered quarterbacks that will be there.
And this Junior Day, that's kind of the next thing, it seems to me, that's the next big deal. We're starting to hear a lot more about kids going to Junior Day, getting offered, committing, things like that. An astronomical number came out of Texas after their Junior Day here a couple of weeks ago. Is that the next big thing?
Texas always does. They don't offer anybody until the Junior Day. Then they kind of put you in a room with Mac Brown and the guys he wants, he offers, and his commit rate out of that's 80, 90% usually. Nebraska, they've evolved this. They do this February Junior Day, then they do the spring game, and then they do another Junior Day usually in the summer. So between all of that, if you can get 8 to 10 commits, then you can get maybe 10 more in the season. That's kind of the formula they've laid out.
All right. Well, don't forget tonight, folks, it is Sean Callahan at Bullseyes in Hastings. Tomorrow night, he is at Indian Head Golf Club in Grand Island, 6 o'clock each night. Tonight, free and open to the public. Sean's got the 2010 recruiting class video. He shows that about 35 minutes, as he says. It's a minute or two on each one of the kids that are coming to the University of Nebraska. And then he'll take your questions on the recruits, on the Huskers. You can find out who the next quarterback of Nebraska is going to be and anything else out there. Sean's going to be, again, tonight in Hastings at Bullseye at 6, and tomorrow night in Grand Island at Indian Head Golf Club. We will be back with you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. I want to thank our guest today, UNK women's basketball coach Carol Russell. Their final home game is coming up this Friday and Saturday. And, of course, Stu Pospisil, the prep sports editor from the Omaha World Herald, breaking down the high school basketball districts for boys going on across the state. Sean, have another good one tonight.
Hey, looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming in and co-hosting. We'll be back tomorrow with another Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.